Smokey the Bear, cause I'm the rarest showpiece. Listen closely, I'm the most sickest rapper. Yeah. In your nose 16 chopper, I have blown through some chapters. But I won't regret after, I am done with my rapture. I am done with the laughter, I'm the sun, can't be captured in a smash, but in a massacre. Half of us want the real shit, but we are forced fed all of this horseshit. It's unfortunate, it is unfair. That's why I'm never done here. I love how I'm rebuilding and the future, it is unclear. I'm popping off and shooting bottle rockets. I'm a throttle rocket, never sitting idle.
When the sun rays bright, rise and shine, early wakers. Got a part-time apartment in the land of the Lakers. Overrated by some, underrated by most. We orchestrated what no one has ever done for my coach. Before I put the fire out, putting fighters out their misery. That's another Spider-Man and Silver Surfer mystery. Delivering my system of belief is a must. Believing family and friends is only few you can trust. The three of us, we stuck together through the thick and the thin. And now we've got some thicker skin, but still predicted to win. You either sink or you swim, you either float or you drown. So don't slow down, throw down, and own your crown. Because I
listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
I'm Peter Mansbridge, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Welcome, welcome everyone to CITR 101.9. You're listening to Wise Men Radio. I'm your host, Austin. We got a pretty cool show for you today. Today's special feature is we'll be talking a little bit about the LNG pipeline and playing some groovy tunes for you. But anyways, I'm going to get it started off with a couple tunes. Hope everyone's staying dry out there. Looking like pretty nasty weather out there for the next couple days. But anyways, I'm going to get it going with a couple tunes, and then I'll come back. The first song I'm going to play for you guys is a Ciolina song. I've played her before. This is off her 2011 album, Sleeplessness. And the song is called Sleepless Fever. Pretty nice way to start off your morning. Yeah. See you in a few. Welcome back, everyone, to CITR 101.9. You're listening to Wise Men Radio, and I'm your host, Austin. So those were some pretty awesome songs that I just played. The last one was a song by Jay Hosking called 3 Years with the Rat, and the album is called Songs for the Rat, and he's a pretty cool, like, kind of experimental, claims he's science fiction music artist out of Vancouver. I actually really highly recommend this album. I've been listening to it pretty much all week. It's awesome. So check her out. Pretty cool. And of course, that other song I played in there, that second song I played, was Molly Drag Glitter off his new album, Fear Mint Volume 3. Molly Drag's from London, Ontario. Pretty cool. All kind of similar vibes. Cialina was, of course, the first artist I played. Sorry for this late start, everyone. Trying to get rid of these technical bugs here at the station. We had a fixer Rooney coming in, so had to be put on hold for a bit. But I'll try to squeeze everything into this next little bit. I've got a pretty jam-packed show, lots of cool artists. But anyways, the theme for this week, I was going to talk a little bit about the LNG pipeline. The LNG pipeline is, LNG stands for liquefied natural gas. And it's been proposed, lots of oil pipelines have been proposed for BC in the last couple of years, especially in Stephen Harper's reign. And this LNG pipeline is it's been discussed for a long time. And the decision, Trudeau had to make a decision in the past week or so about whether to pass this pipeline or not. And of course, this pipeline has been the forefront of much controversy in all of BC. It's been kind of a fighting stance for lots of First Nations who are very opposed to it. So I was gonna kind of share my perspective of it. Basically the pipelines, we're kind of this construct of the conservative government. It's kind of this way to help revenue into British Columbia. British Columbia is the province out of all Canada with the most projected projects in the next coming years. And this pipeline is actually one of the largest revenue sources from it. But it also comes with lots of implications. First of all, it runs through lots of critical habitat for lots of endangered species, and also very sacred territory for many First Nations. As you may know, it kind of goes through the Great Bear Rainforest, home of the Spirit Bear, kind of the head of the opposition to the pipeline. It's kind of their flagship species for this anti-pipeline rhetoric, as you will. But yeah, and it crosses over lots of really important watersheds like the Skeena, The Skeena Watershed is in northern British Columbia, and it's kind of it's like near Prince Rupert area, and that's where this kind of that's where the headwaters are near Prince Rupert, and that is where the projected end point of the pipeline is. So yeah, as you can, and the Skeena is one of the most pristine watersheds. It is kind of more or less untouched by human interactions, if you will. It's a really important, and also it's a really important watershed to lots of salmon. It's the second largest salmon-bearing rivers in British Columbia, and it's a critical habitat to not just salmon, but it's also... It also houses a really critical eelgrass ecosystem for lots of different invertebrates and different fish species. Anyways, I was going to talk a little bit about this phrase, critical habitat, since I brought it up. Critical habitat is kind of this, child of this policy talk, but it also has a little bit of like a twist of science into it. In order to classify something as critical habitat, maybe the conditions can be like perfect for, say we're talking about sockeye salmon. The conditions can be perfect for the sockeye salmon, but if you don't see like a physical sockeye salmon in the habitat, then it cannot be considered critical. So you have to physically see the species of animal or whatever you want to see in this ecosystem or this habitat or this area in order to classify it as critical. That's basically all it means. So when you hear the phrase critical habitat, it's actually used a lot for this like kind of anti-pipeline rhetoric, which is like I'll let everyone know right now that I'm pretty biased against this pipeline, but I'm kind of open to the open to discussion. If you will, for it. I think it will increase lots of revenue in British Columbia, but I don't think it's in necessarily a beneficial kind of constructive way. I think natural gas is kind of a archaic source of energy, and we should be focusing more resources on these new and upcoming energies that are more sustainable and can be non-toxic to the environment. When you hear the word or you see the word critical habitat, just think that they've found a species of this in it. They can use it also for good and bad reasons, like pro and anti pro pipeline. You'll see it in lots of contexts where like, oh, this is critical habitat, but it could also be like kind of a crummy habitat for, you know, like a salmon. But they found a salmon there, so it's considered critical habitat. But just, I mean, like he may not be survived or like doing well in it, but he could be just surviving. Anyways, I've been kind of rambling on about that, the critical habitat thing. I'm going to talk more about the pipeline later. It's 30 minutes past the hour, so I'm going to play some tunes. This next song is a song by the artist Istika. Off her album Open to Chance. The song is called Carousel. Kind of a nice little tune, so I hope you enjoy. I'll be back soon. Thank you.
5G Conscious presents Flock of Dimes this Friday, October 21st at the Cobalt. Show begins at 7 p.m. Touring in support of the new album, If You See Me, Say Yes, on Prestige Records, Jen Wassner of Y Oak explores the atmospheric side of pop with Flock of Dimes. Find tickets online at mrgconcerts.com. This October 21st, Flock of Dimes at the Cobalt.
Welcome back, everyone, to Wise Man Radio on CITR 101.9. I'm your host, Austin. Yeah, cool songs. First, the last song that I just played was a song by Level Up. The song was called Hidden Driver, and the album was Return to Love. The second song there was a Coastal Break song. Coastal Break's a cool Vancouver band. Most of them are UBC students, so... power to them. They're playing actually tonight at the Displace. Go there and check it out. I think like 9 p.m. Or maybe 10. I don't know. But you could find it, Google it on Facebook. that was a very like 21st century sentence there. Google it on Facebook. All those things. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, but the song was called The Technician, off their new album, The Movements, just released last week, I believe. And the first one, of course, was Ithaca, Carousel. But yeah, cool. Now back to LNG, everyone's favorite pipeline nowadays, huh? or not. Yeah, so... this LNG pipeline, liquefied natural gas, it's been, long disputed. Lots of people who put Trudeau into office are now kind of scratching their heads, wondering, what, like, why? Why did we vote this way and put him in there? If he's just going to go turn around and put in this big pipeline, this is kind of, it's kind of the basis of what a lot of liberal ideology was based on, which is odd to see this happen, really. But yeah, it seems like just something like that Harper would do, but here we go, Trudeau. I was kind of gonna talk a little bit about some of the politics behind it. So lots of First Nations have just kind of claimed that they've an immense dislike for this. And they have the right to actually say, hey, no, we don't want this pipeline. And the government has the required to acknowledge this plea, kind of, no, we don't want it. But the prime minister can actually basically ignore these wishes if he believes it's in the best interest of the Canadian people. And I think that's what he has done this time around. So it's kind of sad that it does go through lots of First Nations territory. So it will affect lots of small communities like that. And yes. And it's increasingly surprising to see these pipeline projects come up in nowadays, this modern day, especially with all of these just every month there's, maybe every month is a little bit of exaggeration, but very frequently there is, you hear about these oil spills and it's just immense oil spills in these parts of the world. For instance, this last summer, I spent my time in Saskatchewan, and I'm not sure if the news got all the way out to BC, but there was this big oil, Husky oil spill in the North Saskatchewan River. And the North Saskatchewan River is a big, important watershed for lots of communities in northern Saskatchewan, like the Battlefords and PA, Prince Albert. These are kind of main, like, the main cities of Saskatchewan North. And they were out without water for, I think, about a week or two. And it was getting pretty bad. Not only was it, like, awful for the environment, they didn't have access to clean water for a week. That means businesses had to shut down for at least a week, and they lost, like, economically, you lose so much money when something like this happens. I was listening to a CBC news report on this, and they were interviewing the WWF, the World Wildlife Foundation, and they've previously, the last year, the year before the spill happened, did an assessment of the pipeline, and they said their summary of this pipeline was like, yeah, it is extremely likely that a spill is going to happen. They predict in the next 5 years there's going to be a spill. And of course, no preventative measures were taken in place. This survey was kind of just been kind of like, whatever, who cares? No one did anything. And lo and behold, a pipeline spill. Yeah. And it was pretty drastic in the communities. Pretty intense. But anyways, yeah, and another spill actually just happened yesterday, pretty close to home. In Bella Bella, there was a tugboat. Yeah, that's the word. Actually crashed and spilled an immense amount of oil in the ocean near Bella Bella. And this is all kind of in the same similar area that this pipeline is going through, kind of the northern coast, near the panhandle of Alaska. And just this little tanker crashed and spilled and released lots of oil. And the first responders were that arrived to the scene were not equipped to handle this oil spill. And it just goes to show, like, this was just a little tanker, a little tugboat that spilled. And if these first responders weren't equipped to handle this spill that just a little tanker did, like, I don't know if these if we will be well equipped enough to handle continuous tankers coming through this coast, and just with the amount of oil or the amount of gas, liquefied natural gas, that will be kind of going out, crossing these waters. I don't know if an event like this happened, which, like, all pipelines are, and kind of operations like this are projected to spill every once in a while. they're like, I'm not sure if we're well equipped enough to actually handle this. It's a little daunting. And if I think that a lot of people need to actually spend time up in there in these waters, it's actually pretty, like, perilous sea. It's pretty intense. I spent my time in Haida Gwaii for 4 months, and that's the archipelago just a hop, skip, and a jump off Prince Rupert. And yeah, it's like I couldn't imagine big tankers going through these waters. There's lots of different little inlets, little islands here and there. You have to be able to, if the conditions aren't perfect, you have to be able to really navigate pretty well. And I would be surprised if there's not a oil spill in the next, you know, like after the first 5 years of it being operational. But yeah, that being said, yes, this pipeline is projected to actually like run across BC, and the tankers will then gather, you know, the liquefied natural gas and put it on their ship, and all of the gas is going to Asia. And it's kind of odd to see that a lot of this has been, I heard it was a lot of pushing by the Malaysian government to help the building of this, kind of a lot of this will be going into China, and so BC's exports will kind of be sent to Asia, good or bad, we'll see. But yeah, kind of jumping around here. I was also going to explain how you clean up an oil spill. So basically, the way that you clean up an oil spill is, first you got to contain the oil spill. You want to kind of section off the piece of parcel of water that it's been in, and you, like, of course, oil and water, like classic elementary school physics or chemistry, oil and water don't mix. So it's really hard for organisms to break it down. So it kind of sticks around for a really long time. And there's this thing called dispersants. They're chemical dispersants. They're used to break down oil. And it kind of helps break it down to its natural kind of biodegradation. Oil is a natural substance, but it is not naturally found in our waters like this. So these chemical dispersants are actually really harmful for organisms as well. So it's basically just like you got a bunch of poison, you put the poison in the water, and then you break the poison with more poison. It's kind of, so you got to choose your less harmful poison. So it's not like it's not really a fix. It just kind of mitigates the problem, which I don't know if we want to be doing that in this day of age. I think we should be focusing on more better ways to do this. But anyways, that is a lot of opinions and a lot of facts and a lot of different things going on here with this. It's a complex issue. I recommend doing your own research into this. You can, if you're in Prince Rupert area, stand your ground and protest this pipeline. Write some letters to the PM. Do whatever you can to make your voice heard. That's what I'm doing here on the radio, showing my dislike for this pipeline. But anyways, I think that is pretty much all I have to say for this issue today. I know I'm kind of rambling on, and sorry for the late start with the technical issues, but I've got one more set of songs to play as I kind of fade out into the abyss. Next week will be a good, also equally interesting show, hopefully well put together. And yeah, if anyone has any suggestions for any science topics they want me to talk about, or environmental issues they want me to cover, you can always hit me up on Facebook. Just search Wise Men Radio with a Z or a Z, and I will be there. Send me a message, like me on Facebook. Yeah, got you good. Oh, yeah. Shouts out anyone next week, next Tuesday, Shindig. CITR's Battle of the Bands is happening. Our own Andy Resto is hosting. It'll be fun. Come out for jokes, for beer. Come out for cool live music. Yeah, next Tuesday, October 18th, it'll be fun time at Pat's Pub. It starts at like 8 p.m. around there. Bands start at 9:30. So be there, be square. It'll be fun. But anyways, I'm going to play a song by Ultimate Painting, their band. Kind of Jesus and the Mary Chain-esque. Very cool. I dig them a lot. Then I'm going to play a couple, then I'm play a song by Mazzy Star, Be My Angel. Good way to end off the show. And Melody's Echo Chamber, if I've got enough juice in me. But anyways.